No, no, I think Breakthrough TV gives bad broadcasting a good name.
You're listening to Con Air Radio.
Stop whining.
It's about to begin.
Hey, guys and gals, this is Smash Tower for Con Air Radio. How you doing today? I'm in a good mood. It's been a good weekend. I've actually gotten an extra day off, which is tomorrow. So I'm feeling relaxed and comfortable. And one of my side projects are starting to catch fire a little bit. So I'm looking forward to having that go into full attack mode. So the only downside is allergies, man. Allergies. I am in the state of Arizona in the United States of America, and I am really, really having issues with allergies right now. It is fucking ridiculous. So I am feeling the effects of it. So on that same note, it's mostly, a lot of it's my fault because I have not gotten the opportunity to go out and whack the weeds in the yard, which I really need to do. We have this super evasive weed that's out there, pulls up these little yellow balls, and it is just going nuts. I mean, my side yard, which is normally just pure dirt, is full of these weeds. So if I sound like I'm getting stuffed up, yeah, it might be. If I sound sick, it could be. So anyway, and if I start sneezing, I do apologize for it ahead of time. So, all right, so let's talk. What are we going to talk about tonight? We are going to talk about, well, first, as we did last week, I talked about Pal World, the game. Some people are calling it a version of Pokemon, and yes, there are probably going to be some kind of legal issues overall, but the game is out. It is, I guess you would call it still in the beta. I haven't heard anything that it's actually, boom, ready to rock and roll. You know, it seems to me that it's still in beta. So, I like it. It is a kind of a toss between Pokemon, which is the legal concern that I'm starting to have. Because if you actually start to play the game or you watch any of the videos of Pal World, that's exactly what it looks like. You know, you can see characters in Pal World that you know are, well, I don't want to say know are. You are presuming are knockoffs of Pokemon. Now, I still enjoy the game, and so I'm not going to take sides on it. You know, if the people of Pokemon sue the people of Pal World and Pokemon wins and Pal World comes crashing to a halt, then yes, I will be looking for a new game. I currently play this one 2 to 3 times a week. Sorry, I'll try to say that correctly. 2 or 3 times a day. I get on in the morning to pretty much get things rolling. If I have time and I'm at home, I will get on during the middle of the day. And that usually means a day off. And then sometimes in the evening. Well, most of the time in the evening. Now, I don't physically stream when I do all these little work, little sessions. I mean, because most of the time I'm only in there for about an hour to 2 hours. Now, on Sunday, Mondays, possibly I'm in there for a little longer because those are my days off. I've had a couple of good streams this last week or so where I had done 3 to 4 hours and, you know, we gained, you know, new followers and stuff like that. I'm still pushing to try to get the affiliation. So if you're interested and you're listening and you go on Twitch, if you want, just if you want, you can go to Smash Tower Studio and click on the follow. And then when I get on my schedule, you know, when I'm on, come in and check and chat with me because I love to chat. I mean, I'll be in there talking up a storm anyway. It doesn't matter if there's no one in there. I'll be talking about anything. But any case, I need to get the affiliation up. So that means I need to keep like 3 people in the chat room going on the average. And so I need to get those numbers up. So if you're interested, quote, quote, that's me going to quote, quotes. Yeah, come on, come by and check me out. I will be doing other projects. For example, today was a good day in the morning. I actually videoed me cleaning up a locker a little bit. Now, I got about 23 minutes of recording. Unfortunately, it would not upload for me, so I'm going to try again. I may try YouTube, so I'm not sure. And if I go to continue on YouTube doing it, I most likely will try to set it up for an hour-long video of me talking about the Southern Side project. So, of the storage auctions, which I'm currently doing. It is pretty cool. It's kind of addicting, and it's fun. I bought this one because the original bidder fell through, and so they gave me the opportunity, and I picked it up, which is good. It is like 98% closed, so I, you know, lots of laundry going on doing, and boom, this goes to a shop, and we sell. Right, so anyhow, it's one of my side projects. So, and then I'm hoping to start streaming that side project. So that's the reason why I'm telling you now. So kind of keep an eye out on Smash Tower Studios stream because, and also on my YouTube channel for Con Air Radio, because that's where you're going to probably see these streams or recordings. Now, streams on Twitch, recordings on YouTube, because it won't let you go live until you've got so many subscribers and stuff like that. So, and I have left this channel solely neglected for the longest time. I mean, I only have 4 subscribers, and I don't even know if they're still following me. So, could be just something that fell behind. But anyway. That's the side project that I am currently working on. I just wanted you guys to touch base on it and to expect that you might start seeing some videos popping up either on Twitch or on YouTube. I tried to do it on Instagram and it rejected it, so I'm not sure why. So we'll see. You never know. You never know. So, okay. On to the next thing. Let's talk about Bad Batch. Star Wars Bad Batch. Okay, this is the final season of Star Wars Bad Batch. I always hate it when I hear that because I'm like, sure, I like the show. There's no way in heck they're going to keep it going for 15 damn years or anything like that. They're just going to cut it off after a couple of years and go, okay, we're done. And I'm like, seriously? I mean, come on. You know, just getting this rolling. You know, I'm sure that there's easy ways to get the Bad Batch into far, far, far deeper storylines. But nope, they're dropping it like a brick. So I think we're currently like 9 or 10 episodes. I'm not quite sure. So I believe there's some episodes that are going to be still going on, but I don't know how many. So I thought I saw something that there was going to be like 15 episodes. So if that's the case, then there should be between 5 or 6 episodes left. But I don't know. We'll see down the road. But in any case, it's a good show. If you haven't watched it, Bad Batch is definitely something that if you're into the Star Wars shows, it definitely adds some context to it. You know, it's kind of a behind the scenes after Order 66 was instigated. You know, all the other troopers, you know, went apeshit and went back to the Empire, totally devoted, and started killing all the Jedi. Which, if you watch the Star Wars, you know, you already knew about all that. But this is kind of more of the story behind the story of how this group of defects, would be the best word for them, ended up not being affected. And then, you know, in the conflicts of what happens after this, you know, because everyone else turned and started killing the Jedi, which was pretty much the only reason the Empire took control so easily. You know, because if the Jedi would have been still there and still focused and nothing happened with the clones, then, you know, the Jedi would have been able to deal with it. Yeah, that's it. I believe they could have done it. I believe they could have kept the order. Yeah. But yes, this is the final season. So if you get the opportunity to, if you haven't watched it, go back. Find it on, what do you want to call it, Disney Plus. And start watching it from season one on through. But this is where you get that catch. You've got to go back and watch Clone Wars first. Why? Because you get to see all the stuff leading up to it. You know, and then you see what happens, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get the, you know, Bad Batch, and then you got to watch it. So I would definitely, in my mind, it's definitely two thumbs up. I definitely like it. Now, I don't really like any of the other little ones, but at the same time, I've really never gone and given them a chance. You know, the Tales, you know, Tales of the Jedi or whatever they call it. You know, they're short things. I don't want short things. I want continuous story. I want in-depth. I want characters, you know? I don't want short. Anyhow, so yeah, that's ending, but my suggestion is to catch the Clone Wars first. There were, I think, 8 seasons of Clone Wars? So catch that first, and then watch the 3 seasons of, it is 3 seasons, I think. Yeah, 3 seasons of Bad Batch. You'll enjoy them. You'll love the characters. So anyhow, moving on from there, another show that I'm currently watching is currently in its final season also is Star Trek Discovery. I enjoy Star Trek Discovery. I really presume that it's good stuff. I've been watching it pretty much per episode as it's been going along. I don't know how you put it. I like the characters. I like the storyline. They haven't really killed off any characters that were so strongly loved. Well, not in my mind, at least. That I felt rejecting, you know, the show. I mean, like back in the day when Game of Thrones was out. When they originally killed off Jon Snow. I'm like, seriously, do you really just want to slit your own throat? Is that what you're trying to go for? Jon Snow was the serious concrete that held the show together. If you would have eliminated Jon Snow from the series, it would have ended years or seasons before. There would have been no content. There would have been nothing worthwhile. And on that same note, since I'm talking about that, they also announced this last week that the Jon Snow spinoff is dead.
which in my mind is a serious act of stupidity. You know, this House of Dragon, you know, okay, yeah, they got a second season out of it, but I don't think this would have ever been a good show. And so far, I'm not interested in it. And it doesn't even look that good. And you have the opportunity to take a favored character of the show and run with it. And you could get probably, even with my mind, probably get three seasons out of a Jon Snow spinoff. And that's just with me being able to, I mean, I seriously could probably sit down and write, I mean, because this is a streaming, so there's not that many episodes on streaming. 8 episodes a year, I could probably write 3 seasons, you know, just kind of storyline going on. So if my mind can do it, someone who has skill in writing could probably do it for 5, 6, 7 seasons. And it's not like they only have one writer. They have multiple writers that they can pull them from. And you've got R.R. Martin, who's you know, pretty much was going to help run it and keep it on track. But yeah, all that got tossed to the wood. So anyway, I don't want to get on a tangent on it because I would, because I really do believe that they had the opportunity to continue. It's kind of the same thing with, they could have done a spinoff with Arya, because she was wandering off on her own. So she physically would have been the main character and the only real main character. They wouldn't have to worry about paying, you know, returning characters and stuff, because she was off wandering the world in zones that, you know, were unexplored. So, but yeah, they never went with that either. And I would have presumed that that would have been a good one. But anyhow, off of the Game of Thrones, yes, Star Trek Discovery is a final season. I like the storylines. I like the fact that this one is touching base on Star Trek history, where they go talk about Captain Picard's original find of this technology. You know, so you get a little bit of nostalgia there. They ran into a synthetic, which basically could have been a descendant of Data's, you know, systems, because he did look a lot like. Now, I'm presuming that he was made by somebody else besides Sung. Yeah, it would have been interesting. But anyway, yes, that show is also ending. We're kind of like, damn it. Really wanted that one to go on too. But, you know, there are other shows supposedly in the works. Sorry about that. I didn't want to cough on you guys. One that I really wish they would have gone with when it came to Star Trek is, a lot of people were talking about, and I don't know who named it. It was a good name for a spinoff of Star Trek Picard. They actually talked about 7 of 9 continuing on as captain of the Enterprise, the new Enterprise, the one that was rechristened. Now, if you haven't seen Picard or any of the Picards, oops, that was a spoiler. But in any case, I was excited about the possibilities, and for quite a while I was waiting. And then I started reading up on some articles, and they said basically that there is no current spinoff, you know, with that subject matter. And I'm like, damn it. Why are you people doing this to me? So, yeah. So no spinoff there either. I do believe they are working on a Section 31 spinoff. But, yeah. Everything's just like, you know, rumors you know, because so many of these studios want everything to be hush-hush. And I don't even understand why. You would figure that if people are talking about a show that you're putting together, you would want them to do that. That is like unpaid social networking. That is like unpaid promotional works. And then you just periodically release a clip or a rumor or a statement or, you know, a picture of, you know, people behind the scenes doing something obscure that you really can't tell what's going on, but just enough of the activities and characters you can tell what it is. You know, they talked about a Star Trek IV movie, and they talk about it, and they talk about it, and then they can it, and then they talk about it, and then they can it. So, once again, we don't know. Are the crew coming back for a Star Trek IV? Don't know. Probably won't know until the damn thing hits a goddamn theater. Yes, I swear. I apologize, but I don't do it often, but, you know, I do. But, so, yeah. So, Star Trek's Discovery is in its final season. So, if you haven't seen Star Trek Discovery, now's the time to go catch up on it. Watch it thoroughly, and then you can watch Star Trek Strange New World, which is a spinoff of the original Discovery, which is a strong show. And that one, basically, synopsis is, this is Captain Pike and Spock before the introduction to Captain Kirk on board the Enterprise. Now, there is a Captain Kirk in this Star Trek New World. I'm not a big fan of the character, the guy that plays him. Do I think they could find a better one? I don't know, to be honest. I don't think he's enough of the original Kirk. So, and he definitely doesn't talk like the original Kirk. And in my mind, you almost need to do the same speech style, you know. Let's see if I can try it at all. I used to be good at this, to where I could actually come close to sounding like somebody. But William Shatner did the pauses, and I do it a little bit. But he does the pauses in his speech, and he makes it sound like that every third word is an important word to his statement. So, you know, we must get to the planet. Scotty, beam me down now. You know, Spock, all phasers, go. Work maximum warp now. You know, that's terrible impression of William Shatner, by the way, but that's the way he talks. You know, it's like every third word is a priority word. It is just so, I need to make sure this punctuation is going to be correct. Every third or fourth word has got to be higher. No, it's not even that. It sounds almost like every first word. He doesn't really sound like he talks calm. He's like, whenever he's on the ship, he goes, Bones, I don't want that shot. Bones, I'm getting old. Find my glasses. Anyway, yes. I'm getting off on a tangent about Star Trek now. So, all right. So we covered the Bad Batch final season. You got to watch it. Go to it. Check it out. It is animated. I don't know if I mentioned that before. So Clone Wars is animated. Star Wars Bad Batch is animated. So they are good. Check them out. Star Trek Discovery also on its final season. So... still doing good, still doing strong. I want to see more of the cat. They don't show enough of the cat, unfortunately, and now I'm depressed. It could be because of the fact that I recently lost my own personal cat, and it was the last cat we had in the house. We had two that we pretty much adopted together, and then eventually one of them passed away, and then a year or two after that, we just recently lost the second one. So we're only about like two or three weeks out from the last cat passing. Do I plan on going and grabbing another cat? Most likely. Will it be soon? I don't know. It's an emotional thing. So the other day I went to go curl up on the bed, and I'm so used to doing that with one of the cats. So unfortunately, there was no cat there to curl up with. Damn it all. So, yeah. We already talked about Kong and Godzilla, so I'm not going to touch base on that. But I am going to talk about Rebel Moon. This is the second version of Rebel Moon. I'm not quite sure what they call this one. Rebel Moon Scar Giver or something like that, I think it was what it was. As to my comments of what I think of the movie, it still reminds me of the old Western Magnificent Seven, because of they scour the quadrant looking for heroes to fight their battles for them, for this village. Or what's another one that was similar to it? Battle Beyond the Stars, which was it was an all, not an all-star cast, but it had a good couple of names in there, and it was a space version of the same thing. Basically, this kid gets into a historic ship and flies around the quadrant looking for people to defend his planet, and this is pretty much the same gear. The storyline is Scar Giver was a runaway soldier. So let's put this in context, kind of like the most recent three Star Wars movies, where a stormtrooper ran away from the Empire. This is kind of the same deal. But except for that, she had a position of strength and power, and she was convinced that she needed to do this task, and she did the task, and then the people that were in power at the time turned on her and made her the villain, even though she thought she was saving everybody. Anyway, she ran away, and the quote evil empire of that time, of that movie, goes out searching for her, but they can never find her, and she spends years in hiding, almost being forgotten, until this evil empire approaches their little colony on a moon around a big gas giant or whatever. Anyhow, so she goes out, she starts finding all these people that come in and help. And, I do like the characters they bring in, the rogues. They had a sword, a dual sword wielding woman who, if you really look at it, her swords light up. They are metal. They're not powered. They're not a lightsaber. But once they're activated, they do look like a lightsaber. Sorry, I needed to take a drink. But it was very cool. I like it. So, action-wise, it was definitely action, brutal battle scenes, people that you like, characters you like get killed off, and you're going, ah, damn it, I like that one. Kind of reminding, once again, Game of Thrones. It's like, oh, look, I like this guy. Oh, he's gone. Oh, I like that. Oh, he's gone too. Anyway. So, what I think of it, action, good, storyline, you know, it's not like it's definitely like it's been bits and pieces have been taken from different things. I'm really surprised there wasn't a Wookiee in it somewhere. There is an android, or actually not an android, a robot. And he's kind of kick-ass, so that's kind of cool. And he does remind me of CP-3O. He does kind of remind me of CP-3O a little bit, but he has a little bit more personality. It was good action. The main character, the girl that plays the main character, I'm not a big fan of her, but she is kind of growing on me a little bit. So, I mean, I don't hate her character, but she's all right. I do kind of like the prince. And if you haven't seen the first one, basically the prince looks like a barbarian. Long hair, muscly chest, was flying on a griffin. What I would call a griffin. And it was kind of cool. It was good. And of course, as in most of those kind of movies, one of the heroes or multiple men, people, the heroes, will get killed. And they'll mourn them. And it'll inspire them for the next stage or whatever they're doing. So this was movie 2. I don't know, and I don't... I kind of remember an article saying something about they are planning on doing a kind of like a trilogy or a series of these movies. So I'm expecting one more, but I'm also looking at it as who's paying for these? I mean, these are Netflix movies, but they're not. Netflix isn't charging us to watch them. I mean, we all have subscriptions. But they're not charging us an additional fee to watch these movies. So how are they making their money back to continue watching them? And you also got to realize that these movies, the Rebel movie, the first one and the second one, are heavily, heavily criticized as just not being very good movies. And I suppose I would probably agree a little bit because of the fact that, you know, it doesn't take much to impress me. But if I dislike a movie, oh my God, it's got to be terrible. Or, you know, because I don't know. I'm from the 80s. I grew up during the cheesy movies, you know, where, you know, technology and graphics and stuff for movies were pretty weak for science fiction, so science fiction really didn't do very well. They were always, no matter what a science fiction show was, it was always a B-class movie, or, you know, because they just couldn't do good technology for these movies. And then it got to the point where computers were upgraded enough to where CGI started to work its way in, and then they could add in the right sounds at the right times and the right lights at the right times, you know, and then they started improving on all that. So graphics and things started to really shoot up and stuff like that. And then 3D was introduced. So, and even with 3D movies or a movie not being 3D, you still get occasionally the cameraman wanting to give you that thought that it was a 3D effect, to where an explosion will actually see something coming toward your face or your screen, but it goes right off to the corner. But it's not 3D, it's just the way they filmed it. Like, they want that effect. So that's kind of cool. If Rebel Moon 3 comes out, would I watch it? Well, yeah, I've seen 1 and 2. They didn't cost me anything. So, yeah, I'd probably still watch the third one. It wasn't lame enough or anything like that to where I'd just go, oh, crap, no, I'm not going to watch that. That's garbage. It was worth watching a third one if they come out. I don't know what his plans are after that, though. I'm pretty sure that there's going to be at least one more. But it probably depends on how its viewing is on Netflix. So we'll see. they'll eventually start talking about it, and they'll start saying that it did this or it did that, you know, stuff like that. Because I really can't go by what critics say. I mean, I saw an article just the other day where it talked about, and I always screw up last names and pronunciations. So Alan Tulloch, and I've met him, and he's a nice guy. He's done this Resident Alien show, and it's been very well sought after. I really didn't like it, so I really haven't. I watched like a couple episodes and then lost interest. But Firefly had a much higher rating on Rotten Tomato, and did much better with Rotten Tomato, but you couldn't get, you know, a second season. You couldn't get, you know, more. And I'm like, well, if it was so acclaimed, why did it get so poorly done? Why did the network just trash it altogether? I mean, I think during those years, they were screaming for new sci-fi. Something new that would draw new attention that wasn't being done already. And I mean, it's not like it's another show. It's not Star Wars. It's not Star Trek. It's not The Magnificent Seven. It was an original story, and the theme of having spaceships and still be a Western style, you know, it was incredibly well done. And I've even I jotted down a few notes of how to keep or reintroduce Firefly again as a new show. You know, back in the old days, you could create a what they would call made-for-TV movie. They also call it straight-to-DVD, or nowadays, I guess it would be stream. But basically, it's a lower budget continuation. And I was sitting there going, I had a way in my head where I wrote the storyline in my head. There are some notes, but I wrote the storyline in my head for two made-for-TV movies to connect the old show to a new show. And then after the two made-for-TV movies, you would come out with an all-new Firefly, but with the original cast making cameos in the show. So there would be a new crew for Serenity, but the old crew would make cameos in the show, which would give you that old flavor. So anyway, you know, that's what I did. And I made several notes on it, you know, and I was sitting there going, and I had talked to a friend of mine, even that if I could get them funding to start putting together a fan-based, but I can't, because it's a fan-based movie, it can't involve the same characters. So the only way you could do it is get, you know, Josh on board. And redo it and make it into a new movie. But anyway, yeah, I was excited about that because I'm sitting there going, yes, I could do this. Let me write it. I'll refire the flames under Firefly. Yeah, that fell through. other things came about, and so it never actually happened. But anyway, still always in the back of my head. So we talked about Rebel Moon. If I thought it was good, it was as good as the original Rebel Moon. You can take that with whatever kind of salt you want to take it with. It was good action, decent storyline. You know, any huge surprises? Not really. I could almost anticipate what was going to happen next in most of it. But you know, as they've always said when it comes to Hollywood, if you can think it, it's probably already been done. So you're right. That's probably it. You know, I actually tried writing a book because of that phrase. When someone said, if you think it, it has probably been already been done. And I'm sitting there going, well, I started writing a story out, and it's where I give Rebel Moon a little bit of crap. It's kind of along the same lines. I'm not going to go into details because the book has not been finished and I haven't completed it, and I do wish to complete it. So eventually I will write it, continue to write it. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to actually drop that. Let's move on. So Rebel Moon, yes, I will watch a third one if they come out with a third one. Once again, Star Trek's Bad Batch final season, watch them when you can. Discovery... Star Trek's Discovery, watch again, it's its final season. Still waiting for Mandalorian season 3 or 4, whatever it is now, if they're going to do it. I would like to see a Obi-Wan Kenobi season 2, I've only heard mild rumors, and one of the rumors was, no, it's not going to happen. Let's see, I'm looking forward to the other Star Wars shows that are in the works. The Acolyte, I don't know. Skeleton Crew looks good for me. I definitely think I could probably jump on board with that. So looking at that one, awesome stuff. What else we're going to talk about? Oh, okay. And I'm not quite sure. Let me take a quick look at where we're standing here. I need my flashlight because I can't see squat right now. Let's go flashlight. All right. So I got about 20 minutes here. I wanted to talk about Phoenix, or actually some of the cons that we did. I recently, it wasn't a con. It was a art show. Excuse me. That was not well brought up. This weekend there was a art project at the Phoenix Convention Center. And basically it was definitely fantasy / horror / Star Wars / Star Trek type whatever. It was good. It was small. I know a lot of people went running to it, and I think they were all kind of like me. They were anticipating that it was going to be bigger, and it really wasn't. When you show something at the Phoenix Convention Center, I'm thinking that, oh, this is going to be awesome. But it was a very small part of one of the smaller off buildings. Now, don't get me wrong. This probably was a very successful for them. It was free, so you could go and just browse the artwork that there was there. You got an 8x10 print when you went to go in, which was good. I got Baby Yoda, Grogu, I liked the artwork, and it was good. And so I got one of those, and I'll put it in a frame probably soon. And it'll go up on the wall somewhere. And eventually, if I ever find the artist that does it, maybe I'll have them sign it. It was a very small event. They had food trucks out front, but I don't think it was specifically for this event, because there was another event going in the main part of the building. And they had a much bigger crowd. And so the food trucks were there. But I think if they wanted to be this event be larger, then they should have opened up like a larger hall and then put the artwork specifically from these guys in a specific corner. And then, and then have in other vendors. I mean, it was for the entire weekend. It was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, so I think that they should have put in other vendors besides just these artists. And it probably would have drawn more of a crowd. Some of these people, I started hearing rumors that it was small before I went to go see it. And I went to go see it, and I normally am very on board when it comes to supporting these types of shows, but there was very little to do. If you were going to wander through, I mean, there were even signs up in certain areas where they didn't want you taking pictures of the art. And I'm like, okay, how do you want me to support your event if I can't take pictures of the art? So I took a couple of pictures and I mentioned it once or twice or something like that, but you know, that was it. I really couldn't do much to it. There was an ice cream vendor out in the hall. I think somebody was selling dice, but that was pretty much it. Besides that, there was no other outside vendors. And that's where I think, you know, in my mind, it may have been a very successful event, but in my mind, that's where it failed, is it should have had more vendors. And I think even if they didn't open up into a larger space, I think it could have been, maybe the hall area could have been done differently, where vendors can be lining the hall, and then they could have gotten more people involved. But anyway, if it happens next year, I probably won't go, because I ended up spending more money on the light rail to keep it cheap, going up on the light rail and a meal before I got up there, and that alone basically cost me like $25 between the meal and the trip. And that's not a terrible price for, you know, new content, but I would probably never do it again. It was something new. I didn't know what to expect, so that's why I went. You know, as I said, now I know what to expect, so, you know, it's just not going to happen next year. I'll focus on other real events. On that note, next real event coming up is Phoenix Fan Fusion. Every year, I go to the Fan Fusion. I enjoy myself, and days, literally a day, 2 days maximum, I'm like, okay, when can we go again? Let's go again. Let's go again. Let's go again. But it's over. It's there. Now, when it first, a few years ago, not when it first started, they actually would do like a pre-con night on Thursday nights, which was good. So I would actually love going up early and stay the night Thursday night and get set up for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it was cool. And I've even done it once where I stayed over one night. And we left, I think, Monday instead of leaving Sunday. And it was weird. Because, I mean, we were able to wander around downtown. But, you know, the next day, there are no food trucks. There's nobody on the street anymore, where they had the streets closed off. The convention hall is empty. The only thing that's really still hanging around is you're seeing vendors that are, you know, just leaving that day, or they decided to stay over also and then leave the next day. And then you see them scattered about. And I presume that maybe some of the actors and the guests that are brought in probably linger on maybe a day or two. But when I first were doing Phoenix Comic Con back in that day, most of the guests were staying at the same at the one hotel. So it was really cool because we would go down to the bar downstairs in the hotel, and many of the celebrities actually would be down there chatting to the other celebrities, having a drink, you know, being social. And it was always nice because you could actually, in some cases, talk to them. Excuse me, talk to them while they're down there. I mean, you don't want to disturb them, and you know, it's their time. But it was great to be able to talk to them, and that was in the old days. Now, nowadays, they're like staying hidden. I mean, I don't know if they stay in their own private rooms or they go to different hotels, or they're staying at, you know, they're hitting bars that are, you know, not the ones that most of us are going to. But, yeah. I don't know. It was pretty nifty. I mean, I've hung out with some of the celebrities. I've been doing this long enough to where we've hung out with certain celebrities. We've had dinner with certain celebrities. We've, you know, gone to VIP rooms and stuff like that. You know, there was a day at one time that Sabo had VIP rooms to where we could actually mingle with the guests that were invited. This last season was a little different that the Artist Alley that were local guests that were invited didn't get the opportunity to hang out with the VIPs. It was definitely different, but it was still a good event. So, but, you know, it, right now, since I'm doing the podcast pretty much myself, I'm not 100% sure I'll be doing Sabo or Katori as a guest, because they have a policy where they want you to do a panel per day. And, you know, Sabo is a 4-day event, and I would be lucky if I had enough energy, enough attention, and enough ideas to have one panel go, because I'm by myself. I don't have my co-host with me recently, and it's been a little hard. It's a little difficult at times. I'm still looking for another new co-host, somebody who is willing to be there for Con Air. I'm looking forward to finding somebody. Talk to some friends, and they're kind of keeping an eye out also. So we'll see. I even thought about asking one of my old co-hosts to see if he wanted to be involved in Sabo this year, because Sabo is bringing somebody we interviewed years before. So, and I thought that would be a good opportunity and time to do another interview with them. You know, see what's happening since the last interview. But anyway, so I'm not 100% sure how those are going to go. So Katori and Sabo are kind of in the air right now for me. I would love to go do them, but as with the doing the panels, I'm, yeah, it's strange. I do a podcast. Yes, I'm here, I'm talking, and it's fun. But I'm not a public speaker, so putting me up on a stage kind of like, you know, I'm like, but if I have somebody to bounce stuff off of, then it can go well. So, you know, as long as I'm solo as podcasting, and being invited, I have to say no, because there's just no way I can do, you know, 4 panels in one weekend, or 3 panels at Katori and such. So, sad, sad, sad stuff. But you never know. And as I said, I am looking for a new co-host to help out, or see if the past co-hosts are willing to jump in and help for a while. So we'll see. But Phoenix Fan Fusion is coming up. We are, what, 30-ish days away? Let me see. Close that. Okay. Boom, da boom, da boom, da boom. We are 30, as of today we are 31 days away from Phoenix Fan Fusion. I put in my media request. I requested 4 passes. My wife is my driver and backup photographer, and I do photography and host of the podcast. I have not asked any of my co-hosts yet if they were willing or wanted to go. I did ask a photographer. I am trying to find out if he's going to be available for Sunday only or Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So we're kind of still on that to see if that's going to work out. I probably will poke to see if my 3 possible co-hosts, if any one of them are available or want to go, but Con Air is not going to be able to afford them to be there. And if my photographer is available, he'll probably be in our room for the weekend, so our room will be occupied. So anyhow, so that's where we're at with that. I have not heard back from Phoenix Fan Fusion, so I do not know if we've been approved or not. If we're not approved, I will probably still buy passes to go, but it will seriously limit my coverage. It'll probably just be photography and no interviews. And it'll be probably done after they have had it. I don't know. I have ideas, and I am thinking about buying a video camera to do some streaming and some video pieces, and I'm looking at some new software to do video editing. So I'm hoping that maybe I can get a lot of videos at Phoenix Fan Fusion and edit together cool stuff. And then, of course, I would love to do some streaming, but, you know, the Phoenix Convention Center in downtown sometimes is really harsh on streaming, so it may not work. But I'm also looking at dressing up on Sunday. So Friday is usually my let's get our footing and see what we want to do, who we want to talk to, maybe connect to possibly set up some interviews. Saturday is usually too busy to actually do interviews, but a lot of photography. And then Sunday would be the actual interviews and more photography and maybe some videos. So that's kind of the way I'm hoping to roll it out. And that's just if it's me. If I'm lucky enough that I'm joined with a photographer and another co-host, then I'll probably expand on that and see what we can get done. We did approach Phoenix Fan Fusion and ask them if there was any opportunity of them donating a table so that we could work on getting more interviews. But they said that they did not have any table space for us. So it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And it also, they've changed a little bit of the system when it comes to the media. So I'm a little worried that we might not actually get approved. And this would be the first time in 9 years that we would have not gotten approved. So I'm a little worried because, as I said, it is a new system. But we'll see. I have connected with some of the people there, and I'm hoping that they remember that Con Air Radio has been there for 9 years now. Well, I should say this year would be our 9th year with Phoenix Fan Fusion. So fingers crossed that the media passes are approved, all 4. And that I can find a co-host that's willing to go with us and be there. So, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed it's going to be that kind of a day. So, all right, guys and gals, I am going to let you go. We have had a good conversation here, or I have talked a lot, and I'm hoping that you have listened. If you guys ever wish to send me ideas or chat to me, I'm easy to actually get in touch with. You can get in touch with me from my Instagram account, Con Air Radio 2. You can chat, send me messages there. You can go to our website, which is smashedhourstudios.com, and you can actually connect through the chat feature there. You can send me an email at conairradio@gmail.com. I'm very easy to get in touch with. I am building and working on a Discord channel for when I do my streaming. So eventually Discord is going to be a possibility. But it will be small and it will be highly scrutinized. So I do not want it to be heavily cluttered. So we'll see how that goes. But anyhow, guys and gals, we are going to wrap it up. And from me to you, Con Air Radio, we'll see you at the con.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself,
bullshit!
What a wonderful world.
Where are you going?
I'm going to pick a fight.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.